This GCN program brought to you by Frederick Remington, Fully Cooked Bacon, the thickest, meatiest, center-cut bacon in the industry. Available at FullyCookedBacon.com. That's FullyCookedBacon.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and I appreciate everybody taking some time out of their day on this beautiful long weekend here in the U.S. to tune in to not just the radio stations, but also our website, kereport.com. We have a great show lined up for you, and in the second hour, we are featuring KER Politics, hosted by my co-host, Al Corlin. To kick off the show, I am joined by Peter Buchvar. He is the chief market analyst of the Lindsay Group. And Peter, I read over your emails every day, and you and I seem to be the ones that are on the same page with A, the dollar weakness, and this outflow of money out of the U.S. markets and into European ETFs as well as emerging markets. We will get into that in the second segment, but to kick us off, looking at the money that's flowing out of the U.S. dollar, there is no denying that the U.S. dollar has been in a downtrend for all of 2017, and yes, this is mostly weakness compared to the euro. It is still something noteworthy and a definite trend that I don't think a whole lot of people were expecting after this Trump exuberance was undoubtedly driving these markets. Maybe it's part of this bigger picture of the exuberance leading the markets, but as a general comment here, Peter, what is your feeling about this dollar downtrend?
Well, it is interesting because of the extraordinary bullishness that we've seen in the dollar over the past couple of years on policy divergence, that the Fed is going to be raising interest rates and all these other central bankers, central banks are going to be further easing. And I think what people are realizing is that, well, yes, the Fed is most likely going to continue to raise interest rates and possibly start quantitative tightening at some point at the end of the year. You also have extraordinary pressure on Mario Draghi to further taper and possibly start escaping from negative interest rates, because the European economic data has gotten much better. The political noise has gone down tremendously in Europe, so we're getting a bit to the euro. And the British pound has been benefiting from the belief that maybe Brexit won't be as painful as feared. And the yen is sort of this mixed bag, and it's very easy to be very bearish on the yen with all the money printing going on there, but it's well bid as well. And then you throw in the Trump factor and the uncertainty that he, of course, brings, not just to the U.S. economy, but in terms of the global economy and trade and his desire for a weak dollar and so forth. Now, that all said, you know, the dollar is not weak against everybody. It's trading well against the Australian and Canadian dollars. It's trading okay versus some of the Asian currencies. So it's really more of the euro-heavy dollar index, which is predominantly the currencies I just mentioned, that the dollar is trading weak against. But still, it's not the narrative that anybody thought when Trump was elected. It's not the narrative anybody thought with the Fed raising interest rates. And I think people should take heed that there is something wrong with the U.S. dollar. And the action here, I think, is clearly evidence of that, again, in the face of rate hikes. Also, I think rate hikes are coming as the U.S. economy remains pretty mediocre. And I think that's evident in the flattening of the yield curve. So maybe that's another drag on the U.S. dollar as well.
So, Peter, we will talk about central bank policies in the next segment. But as you mentioned, and as I mentioned on the intro, that we are seeing weakness in the U.S. dollar because of money flows out of U.S. equity ETFs into European ETFs and emerging market ETFs. Now, some people could argue that this is more just a short-term play because of how undervalued you might consider these markets to be. How do you feel about that argument?
I think it's the latter. European markets have dramatically lagged the U.S. markets, and in a big way. I mean, you look at just Spain and Italy, for example. Their stock markets are down a third to 50% below their 07 highs. Now, granted, their economies are as well, and as they haven't really recovered to the extent of others after the recession. But their markets have dramatically lagged. Now, that said, when you ask whether it's a longer-term thing, I think a lot of that will depend on what happens to the European bond market in response to the ECB removing themselves from their extraordinary accommodation. I've been very bearish and remain very bearish on the European bond markets, both sovereign and corporates, and think that that is one of the biggest bubbles we've ever seen. And that is an accident. Well, instead of an accident waiting to happen, it's more of it's a train wreck waiting to happen as the ECB further removes themselves from QE and negative interest rates. So that's going to be the interesting test for European equities that everyone loves, is how they respond to what I see as inevitable sharp rise in interest rates in the latter part of this year.
So, Peter, as much as I dislike talking about how politics is moving the markets, I do think it is noteworthy that what we've seen out of Europe recently in terms of the French election, in terms of the Dutch election, that we are not seeing so much Europeans bail out of the euro like we saw with that Brexit vote. How much of this influence do you think is having at least weigh on investors' minds when they're looking at this current trade?
I think so. I think, as you mentioned, the political risk was rather large going into this year, with also the Dutch election, the Austrian election, and the euro is proving to be a legitimate currency. And as much as Mario Draghi has damaged it with his policies, it's still a currency that's going to be around. And people are realizing that the euro is not breaking up anytime soon. And people can still believe that may happen, but not any time on the horizon.
So, Peter, when you look at more of a long-term picture for the U.S. dollar, there is no doubt that the dollar is in a downtrend throughout 2017, has been unable to break this downtrend. Do you think that this will continue through possibly the rest of this year and maybe even start to pick up steam?
I think the U.S. economy, in its ninth year of this expansion, with the Fed raising interest rates into what I think is a very mixed economy. And if you look at the recent loan data, particularly last week's loan data on commercial and industrial loans and others, the Fed is raising interest rates into a slowing economy and is going to slow it further. So you raise the risk, and the Fed is tightening into that type of backdrop, raise the risk of a recession. The U.S. economy goes into a recession, that will be, at least initially, dollar negative. And I think that's what the dollar bulls are sniffing out, especially the U.S. economy relative to Europe, as we mentioned. And I think the U.S. yield curve is sniffing it out. So we're seeing the rise in the short end because they're hearing from the Fed. And the long end is responding with worries that the U.S. economy may not be able to handle a tightening of credit and a rise in borrowing costs. And I think that's potentially a major issue for the dollar as we go into next year, because at some point, and historically speaks to it, that the Fed's tightening cycles usually lead us into recession, which then is followed by the Fed reversing themselves and then easing. And imagine what that'll do for the dollar. If we go into recession, the Fed starts easing, that'll be even further dollar negative.
Well, Peter, as I mentioned, in the next segment, we are going to be talking about central bank policies, because I totally agree with your emails that I get every day and when we chat off mic, that central banks around the world, especially the Fed, the ECB, even the Bank of Japan, are looking at more hawkish policies. And this is a major change for the central banks globally. And I think that even though they might be going down a road of slow change here, they are talking about it. Even just this week, we got the minutes from the Fed that again pointed to an unwinding of their balance sheet. So all of these topics do need to be considered by investors, because I think these central banks have been a major player in these markets and in especially treasury bonds, because of how much they've been buying. So it is something we are going to chat about next segment. Everybody, stick around. I'm going to be right back with Peter Buchbach.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas.
When I was playing ball, they called me the Big Hurt. But after I left the game, Mother Nature started putting a big hurt on me. I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, it wasn't my fault. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. But luckily, I found out about Nugenix.
Nugenix is a unique man-boosting formula powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help boost your free testosterone levels. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME66 to 321321. With Nugenix, you can feel stronger, leaner, with a lot more stamina and energy.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
Nugenix is GNC's number one selling men's vitality product. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME66 to 321321. Nugenix samples are not available in stores. So again, text PRIME66 to 321321.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know, the credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-314-7417. 800-314-7417. That's 800-314-7417.
Would it be okay if you had two paychecks instead of one? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to get an extra paycheck every month, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. As I mentioned, I am back with our good friend Peter Buchvar. And Peter, as I said even at the end of last segment, we are going to be talking about central bank policy and the trend of some of the major central banks around the world switching to a more hawkish policy. We are talking the Fed, the ECB, even the Bank of Japan, which is crazy because they've been in a dovish mindset for longer than anybody. But even with this narrative out of these central banks, the markets have ignored the fact that there could be a little less capital free flowing into the markets. As a general comment to kick us off, how long do you think this can go on for, and what is your take on this more hawkish tone that the central banks are employing?
Well, the hawkishness is a matter of degree, of course. So when you look at the Fed, they're obviously down the path. The ECB, I think they're waking up to the fact that, you know, getting into easing is really easy. Getting out is much more difficult. So them being hawkish is really just being, and the rest of the central bank, the definition of hawkish now is being slightly less dovish. So I just want to differentiate between true hawkishness and what these central banks are going to do. And even when you look at the Bank of Japan, which is still going through this extraordinary easing with the balance sheet being about approaching 100% of GDP, their idea of a change in policy is that this yield curve control they're focusing on is meaning they're actually buying less paper. So there's less quantitative easing technically. Because as long as the 10-year yield stays around zero, they don't need to buy as less. So they're pumping, and again, it's very modest, but there's a little change there. Bank of England, growing pressure with the rise in inflation statistics for them to at least take away the post-Brexit rate cut. They've stopped expanding their balance sheet. So the QE program at Bank of England, they've reached the level that they wanted. Now they're just reinvesting. Now they're not going to change that anytime soon. We have to look more at the rate change, but they're not expanding their balance sheet anymore. The ECB, of course, still is, but we expect in a few weeks when they meet in June for them to announce their further plans. They'll probably get rid of forward guidance, which means that they're not going to keep talking about easing again, which will then set us up for another taper probably in Q3 and maybe soon to follow with a rise in short-term interest rates. We'll see whether that happens or not. And then even the People's Bank of China, while they're not outright going to be raising interest rates, they are cracking down on excessive credit growth. They're trying to crack down on a lot of these wealth management products. We've seen a rise in interest rates across the board in China, both interbank rates, and we're seeing it in market rates. So there is a credit tightening going on in China as well. So, you know, to the point here is that you have, in some fashion, and again, hawkishness being defined as less dovish for some of these central banks, all five major central banks in some fashion are taking away some of the punch bowl. And again, while this still seems very gradual and rates are still extraordinarily low, we still can't forget what got markets here. And that was all the easing and the QE and the NERP and the ZERP. And now that we're seeing a reversal of that, I don't know when it's going to matter, but I'm convinced it will matter at some point.
I'm with you, Peter, but the fact of the matter is every time that we have heard about the Fed or other central banks talking about a more hawkish attitude, and when we have actually seen rate hikes by the Fed, it hasn't had a big impact on the market. And I think that's one aspect that these central banks do continue to watch very closely, even though they don't state that specifically. What's your comment? Do you think that these central banks are paying close attention to the markets and almost basing some of their actual decisions on what the markets are doing?
No, there's no question, at least for the Fed, that high stock prices is their third mandate. I mean, there's no question. They're just running into a credibility issue with that mentality. And, you know, with the markets in the U.S., I mean, we sold off hard after QE1 ended. We sold off about almost 20%. We did the same when QE2 ended. We did the same, well, not, we sold off about 10% around the time that QE3 ended. We sold off really hard in January, February last year after the first December rate hike. So there have been market hissy fits to the rise in U.S. rates and the end of QEs. It got saved on the second and third rate hikes here in the U.S. because you have all the money printing going on in overseas, and then also, of course, the Trump election. But now that we have experience here with sharp sell-offs with tightening of monetary policy. Now you throw in all five, and the Trump bloom coming off the rose. This could make for a very interesting second half of the year.
So, Peter, is this almost a perfect storm for the markets, where we are seeing some of this Trump exuberance come out of the markets, while at the same time central banks, especially the Fed, continue to hike rates and money continue to flow out of the U.S. markets? Some of these perma bears that have been wrong for the last 9 years actually stand a chance of being right, not in the long term, but let's just say the medium term.
I see the train coming. I just don't know if it's a mile away, 10 miles away, or 100 miles away. But I see it coming. And I think it's just an inevitable consequence of one side of extraordinary easing that inflated asset prices and bubbles, particularly in bonds and particularly in Europe, and the flip side of that. I mean, to think that we'll be fine assumes that lunch is free and that you can print trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars and keep rates essentially at zero for all these years and try to reverse that and it won't matter. I think it will matter. And again, trying to figure out when is impossible, but I know it will matter, and I'm pretty confident it's going to really matter in the second half of the year when the ECB gets deeper into their tapering.
So, Peter, for those people that do agree with us or at least want to be protected, what's your advice? Where are the safe plays for them to put their money?
Yeah, I mean, it's straddling the line of wanting to be invested to an extent to capture the gains that we're currently seeing, but at the same time, acknowledging the risks that are coming our way, having one foot out the door. So it means having a bit more cash, or maybe more than just a bit, owning gold, particularly related to the conversation we just had on the dollar. And I continue to like emerging markets, but I'm not going to be naive to think that they're going to be immune to, you know, any sell-off in U.S. stocks. But it's the old, you know, investing dictum that you want to sell very expensive markets and buy cheaper ones. Now, of course, the U.S. market has been expensive for years, and you could have said the same thing a couple of years ago. But, you know, valuations don't matter until they do. And now I believe they're going to start to matter, again, with this tightening of monetary policy. And that's, again, when valuations matter. So start paying attention more to valuations and less to momentum, and have one foot out of this bull door.
Peter, I think we can go on all day on this topic, but we are out of time for this segment. It's been great again chatting with you. Everybody stick around. I'm going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
Hi, John here again. After another month of being on several supplements from Synergistic Nutrition, including Synergy One, the Andreas Black Cumin Seed Oil, and other supplements, I've lost another 10 pounds for a total of 20 pounds. My belt size has been reduced by 1 3/4 inches. My knees don't ache as much anymore, and I'm walking my dogs twice as long as I did a month ago. I sleep very well and have a lot more energy. I noticed that when I cut myself accidentally, that I was bleeding much more profusely and that the blood was bright red. Previously, I didn't bleed much at all. It was dark red in color. So I know this protocol is working to keep my blood healthy. Additionally, I now have the energy to do calisthenics several times a week, in addition to the extra walking. My hunger has been reduced a lot. I take 2 shakes a day, along with each meal.
Call Synergistic Nutrition at 888-988-3325 or visit sacredseedoils.com. That's sacredseedoils.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. You are continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition. And in this segment, it is a replay of another segment that was posted on Wednesday on our website, a special daily editorial introducing a new company to our audience. I am invested in this stock, and I'm invested for two reasons. One, management, and two, that they are cashed up, recently raising about $6 million, something we will get into later. I have the CEO, Faisal Somji, on the line with me, and the company is Prize Mining, traded on the Venture Exchange under the symbol PRZ, and in Frankfurt under the symbol MQFP. Faisal, as I said, I'm invested a lot because of you, so to kick us off, can you please take us through some of your background in the mining industry and recent companies that you have been a part of, please?
Yeah, thanks very much, and a pleasure to be here. You know, my background, I started in the early 1990s in mineral exploration. I was more on the operational side, working in the field, doing sampling, geophysics on the drill rigs. Started my own exploration service companies for a few years and sold those. And then went back to school, did my MBA, started working with some public companies. And then about 2005, I went out on my own. And, you know, my last company I had, it was a company we took public in 2006 called Mexican Silver Mines. We raised some capital around that. And when 2008 came around and everything came down, we were still sitting on some cash, and we decided to focus on looking for acquisitions rather than drilling for ounces. And we ended up finding the Rio Alto deal that Tony and Alex had going, we merged with Tony and Alex and renamed ourselves as Rio Alto. I was the original president and CEO of Rio Alto for the first year and a half through the financings. And, you know, Rio Alto, we built that company by acquiring the La Arena project from IAM Gold, developing it into a producer within about 18 months, producing about 100,000 ounces a year, and then growing it from there. You know, the key aspects of that company was to produce at a low operating cost and to make sure we could deliver what we told the market we were going to deliver. And Rio Alto, as some know, was recently sold to Tahoe Resources. When I started the company back in the early days, we were about a $10 million market cap, and we managed to sell to Tahoe here recently for about $1.3 billion in total.
All right, Faisal, let's talk about the strategy for the company, because you do hold projects in southeastern BC, the Kena and Daylight projects. Please take us through what your strategy is and what already is known about these projects that you will be working on.
Yeah, you know, the Kena project has 1.9 million ounces already identified in a 43-101, about 500,000 of that in the indicated category and the rest in the inferred. I like it because it's got a good geological structure to it. It's got a low strip ratio. I think it's a project that could really move towards production. But it's going to take a little bit of time and work doing the right things that needs to be done behind that, being the environmental baseline work and community consultation work. But one of the things that really excites us on that project is the Daylight property, which is a contiguous package right up to the northwest corner of the Kena project. The Daylight project has four historical mines that produced in the early 1900s. It's a high-grade type deposit. It's grading anywhere from about 15 up to 37 grams a ton material from its historical production. There's been a little bit of surface sampling and trenching in the area, and all those results seem to match the historical numbers from the old mining days. So we see that as a real opportunity to try to string together some higher grade tonnage in the area. You know, that'll allow us to move into production with a little bit easier, with lower volumes and lower amounts to be extracted to equal the same amount of ounces out of the ground per year. So the overall focus on the project this year is to step away from the 1.9 million ounces, focus on exploration, focus on the high grade, and start to build some tonnage together.
So as much as you're going to be focused on these projects and building out the resources, as you mentioned, you built your last company by acquiring other properties. What is the plan for Prize in terms of potentially acquiring other properties? I would assume that you are on the lookout. Is this correct?
Yeah, you know, when we Prize Mining is a new company. We just got exchange approval and reactivation about a month ago here in early April, mid-April. At that time, we went out to raise $3.5 million. We had quite a bit of interest on the books, and we ended up closing $6 million in April, of which about $5 million still sits in the accounts. $1 million of that is in flow-through, so there will be a very aggressive and an ongoing exploration program on the Kena project in BC with that $1 million of flow-through, which will result in good news flow over the next 6 months. But the rest of the capital is dedicated to expand our business model, and our business model is to look to get back into production as we did in Rio. We're looking to make an acquisition of a more advanced stage project, something that has an identified resource, is a higher level towards a scoping study or a pre-feasibility study level, something we can put into production within 24 months or so. And, you know, I think one of the key aspects we had with Rio was that we operated at a low all-in sustaining cost. And I think that's important, again, in today's market. So our business model is to look for production, look to be in production in the short term, and look to do it at a low all-in sustaining cost. And so the answer to that is yes, we are on the acquisition trail right now, and we hope to make one sooner rather than later.
So, Faisal, you talked a little bit about the finances of the company, and that's what I want to talk about here. You did raise $6 million in an oversubscribed private placement, which does give you enough cash to now go after some of these projects. Plus, you have $1 million in flow through that you raised, so that does need to be put into the ground. Take us through how this financing got put together and how some of the management and insiders took part, please.
Yeah, you know, we have a very strong support from the Power One Group out of Toronto. They're one of our major shareholders now. Between them and ourselves, I think we managed to put the right shareholder base behind the company. So the company has a good structure and a good shareholder base of smart money and money that likes to see growth and has the patience and the ability to follow with additional capital. So that makes us, you know, primed for future acquisitions. Management and insiders, including the overall Power One Group, has close to about 60% of the company. So all of us have written our checks, and we're very big shareholders of the company.
So just to recap here, I mentioned I am a shareholder of this company, and I will be following along closely with Faisal and his team. I'm looking forward to the drilling that will be done on the Keenan Daylight project, but as well as seeing maybe what acquisitions might come down the line. And Faisal, you are cashed up, and it is nice to hear some of the insiders that are involved with this project. But again, this is a company that is essentially a brand new company to the market. They have a project, they are now listed, and they have cash, which they will be going out and putting into the ground. I spent a lot of time chatting with Faisal as the company was going through this financing and getting back onto the exchange. And it is a company that, as I mentioned, we will continue to follow along because I do like these early exploration stories. With such a small share float, there is potential for a lot of upside. And you know what? It might take a little bit of time, but if we can get some good results coming out and maybe an acquisition, this could really help drive the company. Faisal, I do appreciate your time. If anybody has any questions for Faisal or his team, please do not hesitate to email me at fleck@kereport.com. Everybody stick around. I'm going to be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Be prepared for the next disaster with the Shelter Pod. The Shelter Pod is a large, all-season, heavy-duty, quick-deploy shelter. The Shelter Pod system can be set up in 30 seconds and includes an emergency medical kit, water filter, survival tools, and more. Are you prepared to take care of your family? Do you have everything in one place ready to go? Get it now or enter to win a complete Shelter Pod system at ShelterPod.com. The Shelter Pod at ShelterPod.com. Shelter when you need it most.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the packed bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at FullyCookedBacon.com. FullyCookedBacon.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
When did American men get so soft? Today's average red-blooded American man has less testosterone than his father, and his father has less testosterone than his father. Before we turn into a country of powder puffs, Force Factor is launching the Man Up America event. We want to send every man in America a complimentary bottle of the breakout supplement taking GNC by storm. Test X180 Ignite, loaded with free testosterone-boosting manliness. Get your complimentary bottle by texting ACTIVE55 to 369-369. During workouts, Test X180 Ignite raises levels of free testosterone in your body to help build lean muscle. Plus, it helps burn fat, fuel sexual desire, and improve performance. Now you can continue to feel like the real men that made this country great. Do yourself a favor. Do America a favor. Text ACTIVE55 to 369-369 for your complimentary bottle. That's a complimentary bottle by texting ACTIVE55 to 369-369.
Welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition, and happy to wrap up this final segment of the first hour with our good friend Rick Rule. And just a quick mention that Al will be conducting a panel featuring Rick Rule with Frank Holmes and Brent Cook at the Cambridge House Show on Monday. I believe that panel is going to take place at 2:20 p.m. Pacific time, so everybody that is in attendance, I highly recommend checking out that. It will be a good one. Rick, I want to get right into it because we have a lot to discuss in this segment. And first of all, every time I chat with you, you always make it clear that you are a credit analyst. And there is so much discussion about how credit is playing a role in the financial markets and how a lot of credit, and you could say debt, money is being borrowed by companies, and instead of being used to buy productive equipment and build out their business, they're more using this credit to buy back shares, improving their earnings per share metric. But I think there's a bigger story at play here as to why some of the biggest companies in the world are refusing to use what is very cheap money to, instead of building out their business, only buy back shares. Can you discuss your thoughts on this, please, Rick?
Sure, Corey. That's a great and, by the way, fun question. I think the big companies, referenced maybe by the S&P 500, are unique. American industry is globally competitive despite very, very, very strong dollar. What's missing is sector growth. So companies expand by taking market share from others rather than by participating in growing sectors. The companies aren't making capital investments simply because the top line growth in the sectors that they operate in isn't there. If there isn't demand growth, the only capital investments you make are to lower unit costs. So the consequence of that, with very cheap debt, is that companies that have a lower cost of debt than they have a cost of equity logically use debt to retire shares and increase their return on capital employed simply by, in effect, substituting debt for equity. It's a logical response to very high profit margins in sectors where they are increasing not by participating in a sector increase, but rather by taking shares from competitors. You increase profits per share, by being highly competitive, but also by reducing the share count. Interestingly, a different circumstance confronts us in the mining business. That is the dichotomy between investment-grade issuers and non-investment-grade issuers. And that's not a market condition. It's an artificial condition brought about by the banking, by the Basel III banking accords, where sub-investment grade project finance has moved from the big project banks, which used to dominate it, to financial intermediaries like Sprott. Not really a market phenomenon, but more a regulatory phenomenon.
Rick, got a question for you. You know, when you talk about the credit situation in the U.S. right now as it relates to business, as it relates to manufacturing, as it relates to the mining sector, et cetera, et cetera, I'd like to get you to comment on something that we talked about on KER Politics. I guess it was a couple of weeks ago. We talked about the manufacturing in the United States, which is really an interesting sector in the sense that our unemployment rates or employment rates, depending on how you look at it, are rather interesting in the sense that the former administration was talking about a fairly high employment rate up around 4.75, which is defined as normal traditional unemployment, and they say that's just fine. But the fact of the matter is the manufacturing sector isn't really providing any employment whatsoever to the degree that they had in the past. Reason being, we have a huge increase in efficiency, and consequently, a job that used to take, let's say, 10 guys to do now takes maybe one guy to do, or gal, depending on, you know, what you're looking at. What are your comments on that?
Well, there's a couple great observations that you made there. First of all, with regards to employment, you'll note that we're at 4.6 or 4.7% of the employable pool, as it's now described. There's a lot of people who aren't participating in the economy that would have been regarded as jobless in the past. So that's the first thing to talk about. The second thing goes to manufacturing. And the truth is that the United States is experiencing really a manufacturing renaissance, but it's a jobless renaissance in the sense that American manufacturing has been forced to compete through efficiency and automation rather than through employment. This is not a bad thing or a good thing. This is just a thing. And as you pointed out, because individual employees are employing much more capital, manufacturing wages are rising rapidly, although manufacturing jobs are disappearing, where in, as an example, automobile assembly, historically 10 people may have operated $200,000 worth of assembly capital each. Now you have one person who is responsible for the operation of $3 or $4 million worth of capital equipment. The 10 people prior would have made $40,000 or $45,000, maybe $50,000 a year. The one person now responsible for programming and maintaining that equipment is making $110,000 or $120,000 a year. The upshot, I think this continues as we compete increasingly with a global population base that has a lower standard of living and is willing to work for less. And also, what it means for people in the United States is that they're going to have to continually retrain. Your high school kids are going to have to be directed towards STEM classes. You know, people who work in manufacturing are going to have to be programmers, which is not a bad thing. It's just a thing.
Rick, I think this speaks to a bigger issue here that the world is stuck in a slow growth environment. There doesn't seem to be spending coming from either businesses or individuals, and this all plays into the fact that, yes, money is being created, but that money, again, is not being spent on productive assets, and we're just not seeing the individual in the world get into the market with any sort of ferocity. We can argue that the millennials are too much in debt and that they just won't spend, but do you see this changing? Do you see any lights of growth in terms of either domestic or international sort of building out of a new growing economy?
I do, in fact. I think that we need to accommodate ourselves on a growing basis to private sector solutions to public problems. I think a lot of the difficulty with regards to demand is that we have an awful lot of misplaced credit and misplaced debt, and we have to work ourselves through that circumstance. But, you know, it's not like, as a world, we don't have problems to address, and we don't have problems to address profitably. We have to reorient ourselves away from government solutions to these problems to private solutions from these problems. And we need to reward people for solving problems, not penalize people for solving problems. But I have a high degree of confidence that this will take care of itself. I was very recently in Congo, which is a broken country, truly a broken country. But it's only broken at the top. If you go look at ordinary Congolese people, if you're out in the boonies where one dirt road crosses another dirt road, what you see is a little informal market. One woman selling copper pots, another woman selling clothing. In fact, the Congo works fairly well if you get the government out of the equation. And I think it's going to take us maybe 10 years to develop a circumstance where there is a greater acceptance of private solutions for social problems. And when that takes place, I think that you're going to see a spurt of growth that will really surprise people. I'm very optimistic.
Rick, I appreciate your optimism because I think sometimes, especially in the resource sector and with gold bugs, they like to focus on the negatives. But when we do focus on some of the positives, the world does always seem to come out of it all right. And we do seem to fix everything the way we should. So I guess as a quick follow-up, we only have about a minute left. In terms of growth, do you think that it will be the U.S. engine of growth or will it be somewhere else in the world?
Oh, I think the answer is all of the above. I think we have a reset before we're able to do this. And I think the reset is going to be extremely painful for people, particularly coddled people, which is to say Americans. The idea that there are social solutions, political solutions to social problems is wrong, Corey. The truth is that my generation has put in place $20 trillion in on-balance sheet liabilities and $110 trillion in off-balance sheet liabilities. We have eaten the Cheerios, and we're passing you the bill. It's important that your generation says no, just says no, repudiates some of this debt, and repudiates the idea that young people owe old people a living, or productive people owe non-productive people a living. I think that will take care of itself over time, but I think that the reset will be extremely painful for the people left behind, who will be numerous.
Unfortunately, I would agree with you on that, but again, a lot is going to land on this young generation coming up, and hopefully something is figured out, but stick around for the hour focus on KER politics.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.